Bible and go to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter number 3. And we're going to read one verse, verse number 16. A lot of good 3:16s in the Bible. John 3:16 is a good one. If you ever want to do a study in the Bible, just go all through the Bible. Start in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Go all the way, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Go all the way through the Bible and just run down the 3:16. Chapter 3, verse 16. All through the Bible. It's an amazing study. Here's one of them, and it's one of my favorites. I have several messages that I preach out of 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. And it'll be on the screen there for you in just a few minutes. I remember a story about, this being Memorial Day and all of that. There was this church that had a plaque out in the foyer, and in this plaque had a lot of gold name plates, had people's names on it, and it had flags sticking out the top of it, and, you pretty well knew what it was. And a little boy was sitting there staring at it, and the preacher come by and said, "Son, can I help you?" And the boy said, "Well, preacher, what is this?" And the preacher said, "Well, son, this is a list of people that have died in the service." He looked up at a few minutes. He said, "The morning service or the night service?" First Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Some of you look like you just need to laugh a minute. By now, I hope you found it. It's on the screen there for you. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles. Now, if you hadn't said amen in about 3 months, that is a good place to say amen. Preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world. And then he was received up into glory. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning for allowing us to be here, number one. Number two, Lord, we're just glad that when we're here, we have the freedom and the liberty that we have thus far. And God, I pray that we would continue to have that freedom, have that liberty to worship you in spirit and in truth. And God, some countries don't have that privilege. They have to go to church underground. They have to hide, and worried about the government finding them having church somewhere. And if they do find them, Lord, they would kill them all. And Lord, I thank you for the freedom. Help us not to ever take that for granted. Now, Lord, in the next few minutes, I ask you to bless us, help us, keep us in your word, keep our focus and our attention on you. And God will thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, in April 1863, Columbus, Mississippi, after decorating the graves of her two sons who had died representing the Southland, an elderly woman walked up she decorated her son's graves, and then she walked up the hill there, and there was two mounds of dirt over there, and she started decorating those as well. And some of her friends said, "What are you doing? What are you doing? Those are two Union soldiers." And she said, "I know that and I understand." She said, "But there's a mama up north that's mourning the loss of her two sons like we are here in the South." And that started the idea of what we observe today as Memorial Day. We honor the ones that have lost their lives in service once a year, but their sacrifice is evident every single day of the year. Today we honor the memory of those that have sacrificed their lives on the altar of freedom. Thousands and thousands upon thousands of people sacrificed their lives, and it was not in vain. Because of their sacrifice, we are free today and have the right to assemble together today and worship God in spirit and in truth. Revolutionary War, over 25,000 men and women died. Civil War, 498,000 died. World War I, 116,000 plus died. World War II, 407,000. Korean War, 54,000 people died. The Vietnam War, 58,000 plus died. The first Gulf War, 298. The Iraq War, 819. Millions, thousands and thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people have died for our freedom that we have today. I don't want to diminish their sacrifice. I don't want to diminish their service. We honor them today. Today is the day we set aside to honor and give them thanks and all of that. But there was a great soldier, the world's greatest soldier, that stepped out of heaven one day, took up arms, entered the fight of his life, knowing that it could cost him everything. This soldier bravely entered the battlefield and won a great victory, but at a terrible price. This great soldier gave his life not just for a nation, but he gave his life for the whole world. He was not a life given in vain, but the sacrifice of his life served to set us free from the captivity of sin. For the child of God, every day is Memorial Day, and we need to remember the sacrifice of heaven's greatest soldier. I got 3 points. Three long points. Point number one, we need to remember his appearing. You think about a soldier that enlists in the army. What are their, I'll be honest, I think all teenagers are to enlist in the army. Or some type of military for at least a couple of years. Number one, they'll come back with their pants pulled up. Number two, they might just even clean their room. And they might just come back and say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, please, and thank you. I think it would probably do our generation, our younger generation, a world of good. But you think about the soldier that enlists and he signs up for the task. And he goes down there, whether he goes down there, they recruit him from high school. I remember them coming in high school and they're recruiting and sign up here and all this kind of stuff and trying to enlist you. Some got drafted and they didn't have a choice. They got drafted and had to go. But this, you think about those soldiers that enlisted. They signed up for the task. Well, you think about the Lord Jesus Christ. Back in the weons of time, back before the foundation of the world, this world is going to be in a mess. This world's going to enter into a sin-sick society. God the Father looks over at God the Son. God the Son raises his right hand and says, I will enlist in this army. You don't have to draft me. I will voluntarily go to a foreign land. That phrase that we just saw just a few minutes ago, God manifest in the flesh, 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. And then what it starts, it gives you the whole life of the Lord Jesus Christ. God manifest in the flesh. That does not mean that Jesus began in Bethlehem. Jesus has always been. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Verse 14 says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So this is not His beginning. Jesus has always been. He's never had a birthday. He's never had a beginning. But this is where He started His earthly being down here. God manifest in the flesh. That's the birth. Justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and then He was received up in the glory. Do you see the birth? And it gives all of His, all the way to the ascension. So you see His appearing, you see His accomplishments, and then you see His ascension. All in this one verse. And so we think about the greatest soldier, God, manifest in the flesh. It reminds us of the moment when the Creator, God Himself, stepped out of eternity into time and came into this world as a human being. Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. A soldier gives up his address. You think about this, a soldier leaves a house where his mom and dad love him. His brothers and sisters love him. And he goes to a foreign land where they hate him. This soldier voluntarily enlists for that. This soldier enlists, signs up, says, I'll go to a foreign land. I'll leave a loving home where everybody loves me, everybody respects me here, and go to a foreign land where nobody respects me, where nobody loves me. You think about the Lord Jesus Christ laying aside his heavenly address, left heaven. Now, I know we've never been there before, but we've read about it. A place of perfection, a place of no sin, a place of no sorrow, a place of no pain, a place of no suffering, a place where he is loved, honored, and he chooses voluntarily to come to a foreign land where he's hated, where he's not honored. Amen. John 1:11 says he came into his own and his own received him not. He chose to do that. He laid aside his heavenly address to come to this place. Number two, he laid aside his heavenly apparel. Have you ever noticed this? When a soldier enlists, he leaves his address. When he leaves his address, he no longer wears civilian clothes. He adorns himself. Woo! He adorns himself representing his nation. Where he come from. Woo! So the Lord Jesus Christ leaves his heavenly address. Not only leaves his heavenly address, but Philippians chapter 2 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. God being, I had it wrote down. And I thought my help would turn it too so I could really look smart and quote that off of the screen and you wouldn't know. And I got pretty good until I got stumped up there. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and being made in likeness of men, being found fashioned as a man, he humbled himself, came obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You know what that Bible says? That says that Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest soldier, left his heavenly address. He took off his heavenly apparel, laid it aside, come to this world, stepped into the womb of a virgin, and robed himself in another apparel, came to a land where they hate him, where they despise him, where he come to his own and his own receives him not. Isn't that something? That's the way a soldier does. And they come to this place, lays aside his heavenly apparel. He willingly concealed his heavenly frame within an earthly frame. He took upon himself the body of a man. So here we go. Here's God, the creator of the universe. But he's born in Bethlehem's manger. Here's God, who owned everything in the whole world, but didn't have a place to lay his own head. Here's God, who made everything that was, and he still had to depend upon his mother for his nourishment and food. He knew the pain, he knew the suffering, the rejection, the hunger, the thirst, the loneliness, and many other problems that is a part of the human condition. He came to this world so he could put on that suffering so he could relate to all of us that are here. That soldier left his heavenly address, left his heavenly apparel. But number two, not only his appearing, but watch this, his accomplishments. So if you were to go back to that verse, God manifests in the flesh, there's his appearing. Now we're going to see his accomplishments. What has he accomplished? Well, a soldier. Have you ever been to a medal ceremony? A medal ceremony. Somebody's wounded and I think they give them what? The Purple Heart. And there's all kinds of these medals. And some of these soldiers that you see, some of the generals, man, they put on that jacket and the whole thing is lined up with stuff that they've earned. Well, here is where the Lord Jesus Christ, his appearing, he steps out, comes to this world, and then all of a sudden God, throughout his earthly ministry, gives him a medal ceremony. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? You see that right there, it says justified in the spirit. That means God the Father, That God the Father had His approval on everything His Son did. Think about this. Jesus steps out into the water, being baptized by John the Baptist. Wonderful day. Can you imagine? John's out there baptizing a bunch of people. And there's probably in that Jordan River, there's probably some catfish. There's probably some big mouth bass. They're probably out there floating around, and they've just, you know, they've gotten to where they're used to it now. And, you know, a bunch of people stirring up the waters, and they just got used to it by now. But then when Jesus steps out into the water, them bass and the catfish said, whoa, something just happened. Something just happened in the water. The Creator of the universe just stepped down in the water. And did you realize, ladies and gentlemen, of course, I believe in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Say, how you know? I'm fixing to show you. Jesus Christ, God the Son, steps out in the water. And then all of a sudden, from heaven, the Heavenly Father says, we have a medal ceremony going on in the Jordan River, right? Watch. The Heavenly Father says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. It was almost like the Heavenly Father said, get him, son. And then the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove, put that medal on him, and he started his earthly ministry. And then you see that scene of angels. You say, what in the world is that for? Well, I got a whole message on that, but I'll just real quick. When he went into the wilderness to tempt, matter of fact, the angels announced his birth. There were shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord shone around about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was a multitude of heavenly hosts fixing to put on a metal ceremony, and says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. The angels helped him in Matthew chapter number 4 when he walked in the wilderness of temptation, being tempted of the devil. 40 days and 40 nights, the Bible says an angel came and ministered unto him. When you imagine all the miracles that he did, don't have time to tell you them all, but you imagine just turning the water into wine, first miracle he ever did. Then raising Lazarus from the dead. Can you see the Heavenly Father going, He's proving who he is. He's proving. Don't you know these soldiers, when they get their medal? Man, yes, it's a prideful thing. Yes. I'm glad to serve my country and get this medal. The Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, proud. I mean, I'm talking about not in a bad way, but I'm saying got those and says, hey, I'm proving where I come from. I'm proving who I am, and I'm proving what I come to do. The greatest soldier of all time. Not only his accomplishments all through there. His accomplishments and his perfect service. Matter of fact, God, even the Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew 17. There, Jesus, Mount of Transfiguration, and y'all remember this story? Moses Elijah shows up, and Peter, James, and John, they're sitting there. And Peter, he's ready to have a building program. He says, let's start a building fund. He says, let's build a building for Moses, let's build one for Jesus, and let's build one for Elijah. Let's have three buildings. And this is all in there, but Jesus said, Peter, get somewhere and sit down. And all of a sudden, Moses and Elijah disappear, and there wasn't but one left standing. This is the one you need to be focusing on, Peter. And then all of a sudden, again, remember at the baptism? Again it happens in Matthew 17. God the Father says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Just put him another badge of honor on. His accomplishments. You go through all the Bible. And then not only his perfect service, but his perfect sacrifice. Has anybody ever sacrificed any more than the Lord Jesus Christ? We've already established He left heaven's portals to come to a foreign land, a place that loved Him, to a place that hates Him. laid down his life. Can you see those angels up there? Got their hands on their sword. Back in Hezekiah's day, one angel slew 185,000 men. One angel, 185,000 men. Imagine what the whole legion up there could do. Wipe out the whole known world. And God's like, hey, he's paying a debt. He don't owe because he loves a bunch of people that owe a debt they can't pay. Willingly lays down his life and dies for the sins of the whole world. Took on our shame, took on our suffering, took on our sin. Dies on the cross. You say, hey, is there another medal ceremony? Oh, yeah. Because they put him in Joseph's tomb. One day, 2 days, 3 days have passed. And early on Sunday morning, up from the grave he arose, triumphant for his foe. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. God pinned a medal on him. Nobody's ever done it since. Nobody has ever done it before. And nobody ever has done it since. He lives today. The world's greatest soldier. God just put that medal. And can you imagine? Listen, I showed you. His appearing. I almost forgot my own outline. His appearing. We saw his accomplishments. But then number two, his ascension. Have you ever saw those soldiers? Those soldiers when they're coming back home and they're in the airport. And moms, especially moms, you know, dads sort of, you know, moms acting silly. Woo, son, you know, the dude's 35 years old, you know. That's my baby, you know. They got the sign up going, hey, welcome home. Can you imagine in Acts chapter number 1, the ascension of the greatest soldier? You know, when he left heaven, he took off his heavenly apparel, left his heavenly address, left it all aside, came down here. And then when Jesus Christ ascended, he took the blood, the mercy seat, back up into heaven. Can you imagine him marching back up into heaven? And can you see it's almost like the airport? The angels like. He gets up to the throne of God, puts the blood on the mercy seat, and the heavenly Father says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You see that happening in heaven? You see his ascension. As they march back in, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. That Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, Paul says, of whom I am chief. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. His appearing, his accomplishments, and then we see his ascension back into heaven. Now, what I've noticed about soldiers, some of you, I haven't asked you, but some soldiers, some come back with missing a leg. Some come back with scars on their face. All kinds of different things. Now think. The world's greatest soldier. I'm going to say something. The world's greatest soldier in heaven right now still has the marks from the battlefield. You say, preacher, you're going to have to prove that one to me. I'm glad you asked. Because over there in the book of John, after the resurrection, after Jesus has already resurrected, all the disciples are in the upper room. It was on a Sunday, and guess who missed? Thomas missed. You always be careful about missing because Jesus just might show up. All the disciples are there. Thomas is missing. Where's Thomas? Well, I don't know where Thomas is. I ain't got a clue. Thomas says, well, I'll tell you, I'll be there next Sunday. I ain't going to miss no more. Jesus shows up then. After the resurrection, he's already resurrected. Thomas says, Jesus says, Thomas, put your hand right there. See the nail prints. Look at my side here. Put your hand right there in my side. In his resurrected body, he still had the marks of the battlefield. So when you get to heaven, when you get there, and you pass Jesus, and you just wonder, say, boy, I wonder how much he loves me. He'll just say, You'll pass him the next 1,000 years and he'll just... You'll still see the battle scar. You see some of these military men and women at Walmart or wherever, and some of them are in a wheelchair, some of them are in a whatever the case might be, and you're just like, thank you. They sacrificed and gave up a limb. Some of them, it's totally, it's more serious than that as far as it's a mind thing. They battle that because of what they gave up. So we could be in here today worshiping the Lord. You see the Lord? How much does He love me? Hallelujah. Thomas says, Lord, help thou my unbelief. The old song goes, Brother Charles, the only thing that's been made by man are the scars in the hands of Jesus. When you get to heaven, that's the only man-made thing when you get there, is the scars made by man. Right now, you say, what is Jesus doing right now? A great soldier. Well, He's seated at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for me and for you. He's our advocate. He's our lawyer. He's our go-between. When we pray to our high priest. Not an earthly priest, but a high priest. Heavenly Father. Dear Lord. And the Lord's like, yes. Can you imagine? You know how far heaven is? Can't got time to tell you. But when you bow your head and say, dear Heavenly Father, you're right in the throne room. That's moving fast. And the Lord Jesus Christ is seated right there at the right hand of God the Father. Now, you say, what about us? Well, you know that Bible says over there in Ephesians. I didn't got it up there, but Ephesians. If you're saved, you're in the military of the Lord. Amen. You're in the military of the Lord. Now, a lot of Christians, you can't tell. They look like a bunch of Twinkies. They look like they've missed, a boot camp. They say I'm a Christian. I don't know. Lord, that's between me and them and the Lord. I don't know. But, you know, we got too many sissified Christians, too Krispy Kreme Christians. Every little thing comes by and knocks them out. Now, y'all were shouting real good a while ago. Christian, just every little thing, boy, knock them out. Oh, Lord, she didn't speak to me. Well, who cares, you know? A soldier's tough. No matter what happens, I'm still serving the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6. Put on the whole armor of God. Did you maybe stand in the evil day, having done all to stand? Having the breastplate of righteousness, the feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. That's what we are. We are soldiers in the army of Almighty God. Now, let me say this. 1.1 million men and women have died to guarantee our freedom as Americans. They gave all. They gave it all. They gave up their right to be moms and dads. They gave up their rights to be a grandpa or a grandma one day. Gave up all those rights. But I do want to say this. Yes, tomorrow's Memorial Day. Yes. But can I say this? Every day ought to be Memorial Day. When we remember the greatest sacrifice, the world's greatest soldier, of heaven's greatest soldier, He gave us the freedom of the penalty of power in the presence of sin. You know, I'm saying this in closing. But this is what to tell me. I never served in the military. I wish I would have. And you're young. You're young and stupid. Maybe you shouldn't have said amen about that. But as you grow older, you look and you begin to look at some things and you grow up. But one of the mottos of these soldiers, you tell me. Men and women, you tell me. But they say, no soldier left behind. Now, if we're soldiers,
in God's army. That's what we are. It's our job. It's our responsibility to leave nobody behind.
Church in Millsfield, out in the country.
You know what our job is? To leave nobody behind.
Amen.
To leave nobody behind. Can you see the Lord Jesus Christ up in heaven? He didn't want to leave nobody behind either.
Amen.
He came to this world. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
I don't want nobody to get left behind. But I can't force you. Nobody will ever be in heaven that didn't want to be there.
Amen.
Nobody won't be in heaven. They will not be in heaven if they didn't want to be there. No soldier left behind. Wouldn't you want to go with us? Wouldn't you want to go with us? Can you imagine on that day, and I'm closing, you imagine on that day when the Lord splits the eastern sky. We come marching in. It'd be like the airport. We got loved ones over there holding up signs.
Over here.
I got a meal fixed. Hurry up. We got to get home. The chicken's burning. We get to heaven. A sign says, there's a meal prepared. It's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. Glad you're... This would be the greatest honor of a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ to walk in and the Lord Jesus Christ, our greatest, the world's greatest soldier, gives us one of these. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Wouldn't that be good? Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, today for all the men and women that have lost their lives to give us freedom that we can come in here today and do what we do and sing the songs of Zion and worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you for that. Lord, help us to be better soldiers for you. If we are a soldier. If there's somebody in here that's not one, Lord, help them to enlist today in your mighty army. Lord, those of us that are soldiers, help us, Lord, to strive to get that nod. Get that salute. That we did a good job. That we served heaven's nation the best we could. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name. Why don't you stand? Altars of invitation are open. Leave nobody behind. Nobody left behind.